Hello, hello, hello. I am your Diana Ross, hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz. And welcome to In Yo Mouth.
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood.
To lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
look. Oh, God, that's good.
I want to know what you eat from the streets to the sheets.
So open wide, honey.
I'm coming.
In Yo Mouth.
I got the goosebumps.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I am your hostess with the mostest, Munoz. And how y'all doing? The weather is gorgeous here in New York. We are exercising. We are 10 pounds lighter, honey. We are feeling good, looking good, and just barreling towards the summer. Yes, you know what? I'm always preaching body positivity here, and we know that I have been on a little bit of just like a self-care, like weight loss journey recently, just to prep for this wedding that's coming up, and it's working, but I feel good. I feel good. I just don't know. I feel good. I do miss kind of like eating out and eating out as much as I used to. But thank you. You know what? My bank account thanks the diet for it for sure. And but like everything in moderation, I don't know. Other than that, the weather is stunting here in New York. We're getting out. We are running. We are dining out. We are eating and drinking most of the things these days. And I just want to get to the getting on today because I'm super excited for today's guest. You know, spring has sprungeth and it has brought all the beautiful food people to me. So without further ado, please help me welcome the one, the only, Jade Ross. Say hi.
Hi.
How are you, my love?
I am good. You know, I thank you for having me on, and I'm so excited that I'm drinking this morning in your honor.
So. Drinking this morning. Well, you know, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, yes, and you, and before we got on the pod, you just told me you took like a 12-hour journey to Georgia.
Yes.
So,
so the drink so, is you know, needed.
Yes, definitely needed. You are relaxing. What are you drinking?
I am drinking Pink Moscato. So it's California Roots Pink Moscato. This is my first time trying it. It's really, really smooth, nothing bitter.
Is it ultra sweet?
Not ultra sweet. It has like a light sweetness to it. So I would use it as like a dessert wine.
Okay.
So it's,
all right. Pink Moscato to match the pink hair.
Yes, yes.
Hello. You know what? It's the only time I miss having hair. right? And in your mouth listeners, for those of you who don't know what I look like, and you should by now, over five years later, right? I'm bald. But the only time I miss having hair is when I meet fabulous people with fabulous hair and hair colors. And it's the only time I miss having hair because I can't dye my hair a dusty rose, you know.
I mean, you could do the beard.
Yeah, it just never gets long enough for me to do that, you know. And so by the time it gets long enough, I want to get rid of it. So I would go through all the effort of doing it, and then it would be gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
This pink was an accident. I was going for something else and I didn't have the right hair dye. And I looked underneath my sink and I thought, well, you know what? Pink is what we have. So rose gold it is. So,
it's cute. It is cute to match the Moscato. And I am jealous that I am not day drinking with you.
next time.
Absolutely. Next time and in real time. Yes. Well, Jade, listen, we are already off the rails, but I got to do what I got to do. Yes. And in the grand tradition of In Yo Mouth, I need to wish you happy National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day.
Yes, I love a good grilled cheese. Oh,
I do too. It's not part of my recent diet for this straight wedding I have to go to be in these clothes that, you know, because I'm part of the wedding. But I mean, I could have one. I wonder, I'm on the Weight Watchers here. I wonder how much a grilled cheese sandwich is on, how many points that is, you know? Grilled cheese, 23 points. That's my entire day's worth of eating in a grilled cheese sandwich. Mm. But I love them. With or without accoutrement? Are we going like traditional grilled cheese? Are we doing bacon and tomato? What are we doing here?
So I'm going to tell you my favorite grilled cheese. So my favorite grilled cheese has pickles in it.
Delicious.
So Irish cheddar. I love mozzarella. Provolone. On a nice French bread. But if you don't have a French bread, you can just do like some nice like bread from the grocery store, whatever, it's fine. And you
can find nice bread at the grocery stores these days. Like a nice thick cut sourdough, a country sourdough.
Listen.
Right? Now the other debate is, are we buttering the bread or are we mayonnaising the
mayonnaise.
Really?
So let me tell you, before I met my like partner in food, I was team butter. I was like, what is this? And we were in the kitchen at work one day and he's like, you know, you could use mayonnaise. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never used mayonnaise. And it changed my life. I am a mayonnaise girl now.
Yes, I love it. Well, now are we a Hellman's or a Duke's?
Hellman's. Oh my goodness.
Really? Because, I mean, for the Georgia of it all, I would imagine almost the Dukes.
No, I am a Hellman's girl through and through. Now, I will debate you over some hot sauce, but mayonnaise, it's Hellman's. Grew up on it. Like, I find anyone that uses Miracle Whip, blasphemy.
Blasphemy. I never liked a Miracle Whip.
It's super sweet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Like, now I want, like, a thick country sourdough grilled with some mayonnaise and someone's like seasoned cast iron with some Irish cheddar and maybe some bacon. And then, you know what? And they are not a sponsor, but Hidden Valley just came out with a dill pickle ranch. And that's what I want to dip this. I want to dip this sandwich in.
Okay. I have to find this now.
Yeah. It's all over their Instagram.
Oh goodness. Okay, I know what I'm getting. I know what's going in my grocery cart.
Listen, you're in Georgia. Go to the Walmart. Hello.
Listen.
That's where all these things are.
Anyway.
You can go to the Walmart and get the Van Leeuwen Ranch ice cream, the dill pickle ranch, the dill pickle Frank's Red Hot.
Stop. You're talking to my life. You said ice cream. Listen. Oh.
Anyways, listen, we are team grilled cheese no matter which way you have it. So So that's where the party is. And this is what we are celebrating today, honey. Okay.
I love it.
And moving right along into this day in gay history, Ja Day, did you know that in 1975, the Arizona State House of Representatives votes 37-3 to pass an emergency measure specifically banning same-sex marriages? This is 1975. 2 weeks later, the Colorado Attorney General also rules that gay and lesbian marriages are illegal and orders Cela Rorex, the Boulder, Colorado County clerk who had issued a marriage license to two gay men in March 1975, to stop issuing licenses to same-sex couples who apply for them.
I did not know that, but
I didn't realize that.
It's weird how, like, it's not too long ago, you know, it's not that far off.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't realize that, again, in 1975, much like, you know, the early 2000s, like, people were just issuing same-sex marriage licenses without thinking anything of it and then getting stopped from doing it, yeah. Right? So, like, it's just, like, this cyclical history mm-hmm. that's happening again and again, and we're seeing it again, okay. Right? Being messy all over.
It's the phrase, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it.
I mean,
here we are.
Here we are. I mean, what is the other saying that, like, do something once and it's crazy, do it multiple times, it's a form of insanity? I don't know. Yeah. I messed that up.
You know, it is. That's the phrase we're going with. That's the wording we're going with today.
That's it, right?
Sounds right to me.
From the great philosopher Munoz. Well, Sade, listen, the politics is crazy, but we are here to celebrate you. And In Your Mouth listeners, if you didn't know, you are about to. Ja Day Ross, lovingly referred to as the Madame of Meals, has been serving up looks and dishes at the Ali Forney Center for 5.5 delicious years. When they aren't nourishing the masses, they are stirring up a healthy pot of love and laughter over on their podcast, Black Femme Kitchen, where you can catch Ja Day and their co-hosts talking about life, community events, favorite dishes, and everything in between. Yet your girl Munoz hasn't been a guest yet, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Ja Day is a self-taught cook who got her start in the kitchen with her mama, sifting flour for homemade biscuits and cake. Ja Day believes in creating food and a place in the kitchen for their community to get fed across the board. Welcome, my love. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And first and foremost, thank you ever so much for giving me of your time today. Time out of your busy schedule, feeding the children, okay? Because that is a busy life I could only imagine. So I'm really appreciative that you are here today. Right, but I always like to start at the very beginning, a la Julie Andrews, and talk about the love of food and where that comes from.
Okay, let's see the beginning. So, like you so beautifully stated in my bio, I grew up in the kitchen with my great-grandmother, who's like my mama. I was always around food. She was a self-taught cook, so my great-grandmother came from those large families that had like farm kids. So they had a farm. So she was one of like 20 something children. So she was a self-taught cook. She cooked at major colleges throughout New York City. And I grew up just always having something homemade and fresh. So, and I wanted to be that kid that was up under her all the time. So I was always in the kitchen. And one day she was like, well, since you in here, you're going to learn something. So it was literally me with the old school sifter, the metal sifter with that handle, cranking flour and making cakes. And I just was in love. Like, you couldn't pull me out of the kitchen. Like, I'd rather be in a kitchen with my hands in wet dough or chopping up something versus being outside running and being sweaty.
What do you think the draw was to the kitchen?
Just the beauty of it and the community of it. My great-grandmother always had friends in the kitchen. So like literally that's the heart of like my podcast and why I do this work. And I love cooking. The kitchen was such a healing place. And it was the safest space growing up in my house. So being in the kitchen and then food itself, I love food and I love flavors from a really young age. Like there was a point in time where I wouldn't eat meat when I was younger. I don't know what it was. And my grandmother figured out I loved applesauce. And then growing up, I realized, oh, culturally, people do eat things like chuletas and things with the side of applesauce. So I was like, oh, this is a thing, right? I just thought it was something my grandmother made up. So yeah, being in the kitchen just amazed me. Like what you can, these ingredients, you have them on the table and you put them together and they turn into something completely new was like mind-blowing to me. So that was my start. It was just like, what can we create today? What's something new we can make? Like I remember.
Yeah, where did you grow up?
I grew up upstate New York. So I grew up, I'm born and raised in Poughkeepsie, New York. And then I moved to New Jersey. So I became a Jersey girl for a little bit. And so I like to tell people I'm a tri-state area girl. Born in upstate New York, lived in Jersey, finished out my early years in the state of PA. And then I traveled. Like I've lived in Texas, but yeah, I grew up upstate and then upstate New York and in New Jersey.
Lovely. Talk to me about the sense of community in the kitchen growing up and what that was like.
Sure. So growing up in every morning when I would get up for school or just get up in general, my great-grandmother and her two best friends were like my version of the Golden Girls. They were missing one, but they would have coffee every morning and a pastry or some dish. And they would like give the whole gossip, the weekly gossip of what was happening in the neighborhood and with who. So I knew every morning that I would wake up, I could just follow the scent of fresh brewed coffee into our kitchen at this little round table and her best friends talking. And my great-grandmother was also the neighborhood doula, the neighborhood midwife. So people would come over and she always was giving someone a plate of food. She never turned anyone away. So our kitchen was literally where people came for advice, where they literally came to eat, where they came to just be and know that they can get love, not just through the food that she made, but through a hug or a conversation. So that was very influential to me growing up.
Yeah. We're always talking about that food is the center of so many life events and so many things. You know, you can always remember the meal where you got engaged or the meal that you had when you broke up with terrible so-and-so or the ice cream that you vomited on your friend on the Ferris wheel or, you know,
exactly.
Like there's always an attachment and a memory and like even down to the grilled cheese sandwich and bringing it full circle and talking about like, oh, dill pickle and those like food sense taste memories and whatnot, you know? And there's even full on, I remember going to a weekend or a week like food writer's seminar a long time ago. And this woman from NPR was doing the speaking and she was talking about how they present recipes and dishes via the radio on NPR. And it's like, this isn't a visual thing. This all has to do with sounds. And so like, they need to hear the steak sizzling or they need to hear the crunch of something. And because it's this sense memory, it brings people to this place, right? Let's because say. They can't. It's not a visual and it's not an olfactory. It's this whole thing, right? So it's just like, it's really interesting that, yes, food is the great equalizer, but also that I don't necessarily know one other thing that can bring up so many different types of memories in different ways.
Listen, I was just talking to someone and it made me think when you were talking about the dill pickle, I was just talking to someone about like, I remember going to our local candy store and we had this candy store and I was like, do you remember the jar that they would have of the fresh pickles, the kosher pickles? And I said, that first crunch was everything to me. And I was like, I was 4 or 5 and I would have an attitude, like a full out tantrum. If that crunch didn't do if it didn't make that noise for me, I would be in there and I would, I want another pickle because that one's bad. And does that sound like when I bite into a pickle now, I'm like, take me back to being 4 or 5 and going to the store and getting that pickle. It's just nostalgia. Like, so when you're talking, I'm just thinking about the sounds and the smells and just like, oh, yes.
It's so funny that we have pickle memories because you just triggered one for me. Weird. There, growing up in Sunset Park, Brooklyn, there used to be this bodega that my father used to hang out with. There was like all the men used to kind of hang out there. That's another story for another time. But I remember when some pickle company started putting pickles in a bag mm-hmm. and selling them at the bodega. Like they started just marketing individual pickles. And I was obsessed. I was obsessed with getting the pickle in the bag and drinking the brine.
Yes.
Right? And having that crunch. You literally just triggered a full memory. So what was the stepping stone from Mama's Kitchen into food as a career?
Wow. So it was a while because you couldn't tell me that I would have been cooking as a career. So it started off as a hustle, honestly. I was in college and my mom happened to go, we were the real life Parkers. I was in college. My mom decided she wanted to go back to school at the same time. And we noticed there was a need. So I went to school upstate New York at SUNY Sullivan, which mm-hmm. is a community college, but 70% of our student body is from the city. So we had a campus and we had housing. And we noticed that a lot of my friends, a lot of people weren't going home and they would max out on their food cards for the kitchen on campus. So my mom was like, oh, you want to sell dinners? And, you know, we cooked dinners here and there. And we drew up a flyer and people liked what we served. So we used to do fish fry Fridays and we would sell like plates. And I was like, you know, I'm decent in the kitchen. My mom always wanted the restaurant, the food career. And I was like, oh, this is a little side hustle. Mind you, I was already working, but I was like, a little extra money doesn't hurt anybody. And then people were like, no, you're really good at this. So I was like, okay, kept it as a side hustle. And then I moved to Grand Ole, New York City. And I was like, what am I going to do out here? I'm young and I'm all over the place. And then many, many moons later, living in New York City, I got involved with the Audre Lorde Project. And they were hosting Bed-Stuy Pride. And they were looking for vendors. And I was like, well, I cook, you know. And they took a chance on me. And I cooked, and they really took a chance on me because I didn't have my food handler's license. So I was mm-hmm. cooking for our cohort. I was like, I'm cooking for the people. No one has to pay me. Donations are welcome. And then it just evolved from there. And then one fateful Pride season the beginning of Pride Month in New York City, just came to an event, saw this beautiful array of food that I made, looked for me. And I was like, I'm not working. I'm doing this other work that I'm really passionate about. Not happening. So happens a year passed. He didn't find anyone for the position. We literally ran into each other at Queens Pride. We had mutuals that were like, y'all don't know each other? Because he was managing the kitchen at the Alifornia Center. And I was just, everyone knew I cooked. And we connected. And he was like, I've been looking for you. And I was like, oh, you're the person that my friends were telling me about. I went in and the rest is history.
The rest is history. I love that. I love that. And I love that it's all centered around community. Again, full circle. Right?
Absolutely.
I love finding these through lines naturally, mm-hmm. right? It's one of the joys of doing what I do on this podcast in the sense of like, we don't know each other in Yo Mouth listeners, right? Jess Tell, actually, he connected us, right? Mm-hmm. Because he was like, you know what? Jade would be a lot better on this than I would, right? Shout out to you, Jess. And so we connected. And for those of you new around here, I don't talk to my guests very much before we hit the record button because I love the conversation being oh so candid and these like natural through lines like happening. It's really beautiful and super exciting. And it's like, yeah, right. It's your love of the sense of community in the kitchen coming full circle again to the community in the kitchen.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And paying it forward at the same time. You know, I always, before we cut out to the break, I always say our stories are important because we never know who's listening, and you do so much good work here. I'm curious about what your coming out story was like. Would you mind sharing that with us?
Sure, sure. So it's very interesting. I always say I don't really have a coming out story. I feel like my family just always knew there was something a little unique about me. But I was 17 and I was living in an alternative residential facility. And I called my mom up because I was about to go back home, live with her. And I said, hey, so I think I like girls. And my mom said, I think it's a phase. And I said, no, I've always had an attraction to the same sex, you know, and I did what I think a lot of people do. I was like, I think I'm bisexual. Mom, she was like, okay, no problem. So that happened. And then I went from coming out to my mom at 17 to my 21st birthday. And I was dating this older woman and she was very much like, I'm gay. I'm out loud and proud. And I was so nervous about telling my dad. And I waited to after my 21st birthday and after I moved to New York City, because I was like, well, if I'm away, he can't really, you know. And I smoked so much that day. And I called him and I was like, hey, so I have something to tell you. And he already knew. He was like, it's about your little friend that was at your birthday party. And I was like, yeah. Because she decided to come in a rainbow tie. I had an all-white party for my 21st. And I was like, Dad. And he was like, listen, I don't care who you love. As long as they treat you well and they do right by you, that was it. And that was the end of it. As I've grown into myself, I've come out as non-binary and I've come out as pansexual. But I never really had like this big thing. It was just kind of like I told my parents and the rest, everyone around me, my family was just kind of, I was just kind of like, this is who I'm with. You either get with it or you don't. But everyone has been I'm lucky that my family has been very accepting. I do have family members that are super religious and you know they keep that their opinions to themselves, or I just don't engage with them. But yeah, so my coming out story has been very much like, surprise, I'm colorful. This is me.
Yeah. And we don't qualify stories here because everybody's story is different and everybody's experience is different. So what I would think is like good or bad, you may not think that about your own story. So we don't do that here. Your story is your story and it is what it is. And I just find it interesting, and we're going to talk more about this after the break, is that you come in contact with all the stories, every last one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So your story being what it is and being able to share that, right, as a juxtaposition to so many different stories that you are presented with, can be beautiful. What is the key, right? Because you're so grounded. What is the key, right, to you being so grounded in who you are?
Honestly, it goes back to community. I wouldn't be as grounded as I am without the people in my life that actively see me and choose me, and that I actively see and choose on a daily basis. They push me and encourage me to choose me in full authenticity.
That right there. We're going to leave it right there. Did you hear that in your mouth, listeners? People that see you and choose you. Those are the people that you need in your life. Right? And hopefully people that take you to nice places for dinner too.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, watching Sade sip on this pink Moscato has got me jonesing for some myself. So I think now is a great time for Sade and I to take a little break, me to find something pink in this 120 square feet of mine, and we'll be right back with my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast. Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Jade, I hope you're ready for my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the podcast. A little something we like to call Food News Update. Food News.
Ooh, honey,
you ain't ready,
girl.
Spill the tea.
News Update.
Kourtney Kardashian put food on the bathroom floor and the internet is losing it.
I'm sorry. That's so disgusting. Was your floor clean?
Wait a minute. Well, yeah, they probably have like six maids like on the daily. Like someone, like those people have so much money. I'm sure like I wouldn't be surprised if there's somebody that comes in to like wipe their booty holes. You know what I mean? But I mean, they got the money, so let them spend the money the way they want to spend the money. I'm not trying to be in their pockets like that, but. So apparently, Ms. Kourtney, and I don't follow these people, but I do follow that one girl with the account that, have you seen her? I forget. I wish I had her account up so I could tell, because I never have watched. I maybe have seen like a quarter of an episode of the Kardashians, but this woman on Instagram does impressions of all of them in these different scenes, and it's the most hysterical thing. But moving on, So apparently, like last week or something, Kourtney Kardashian was posted a series of seemingly casual pics as a photo dump. There she is washing her face. There she is enjoying a warm bath. And then the other pic is she turned the bathroom floor into like a buffet. There are chicken fingers on the floor. There are strawberries on the floor. It looks like some sort of like fruit. There's some champagne. They're just on plates.
Okay.
There's a sandwich on a plate on the toilet.
No, absolutely not. I was okay with the floor and the plate because I'm like, okay, maybe her daughter wanted to have a tea party or something, right? And it was like, mom, here. But on the toilet is where I draw. No.
Like, okay. Full transparency, I will drink my coffee in the morning sometimes in the bathroom if I need to go.
Okay, that's different though. I feel like I think many people do that, right?
Like, okay, because I mean, I feel like it's cyclical. It goes in one way, comes out the other. Right, but it's coffee.
I mean, I'm not going to sit up here and act like I have not had some eats. Ate something when I ran to the bathroom. I absolutely have. I've actually have had a bite of like a beef patty or something and shoved it in my mouth and ran to the bathroom because I'm going to eat. Yeah. But to consciously sit a whole spread.
Like buffet? You know, yeah.
No, ma'am. No.
No.
I don't want that.
No, that doesn't seem like the life of luxury.
Not a Kardashian. You know? Not a Kardashian.
Also, this bathroom looks really small. Like, it's not what I pictured as a Kardashian bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, this bathroom looks smaller than my bathroom in my 120 square foot apartment.
Oh, no.
Like, this, and I have a big bathroom for living in 120 square feet. But, yeah, there's like two bottles of champagne. It's like a burger or a sandwich on the toilet. There's some fruit. I can see some chicken fingers, something that looks like either a biscuit or pancakes, more fruit, something that looks like a pavlova or something.
It's a no for me.
It looks like macarons.
But why are you eating nice bread? But I think my thinking is, you know, when you do like the floating breakfasts at those fancy like resorts and they put it in the little basket, you didn't have that?
Yeah, you didn't have like, or I mean, okay, maybe if you were having like a sexy moment in the bathtub and you brought like a little side table or your like little like bathroom stool and put like some like strawberries on it. Like, I think that's acceptable.
That's fine.
But get the damn sandwich off the toilet. When was that toilet last cleaned?
Listen, maybe like 30 minutes before the photo was taken.
I mean, perhaps. I mean, they have all the staff, I would imagine, and all the money. I don't think we're here for this.
We're not
here. It's a chop. It's a full chop. Cap'n Crunch's 60th birthday brunch is one of the hottest tickets at Coachella.
Happy birthday, Cap'n.
Is this very Coachella or is this like anti-Coachella?
I think it's Coachella because Coachella is all about in your face, taking something and making it what the people want it to be. And I promise you, someone's going to have an outfit made out of Cap'n Crunch boxes. I would not be surprised.
Oh, yeah, because it's Coachella is like new age hippy dippy, you know?
They're the new club
flower kids. Club kids, maybe. Does it get that far?
Sometimes.
Does it get Lee Bowery?
I've never been to Coachella because, you know, the working girl doesn't have a Coachella ticket money, but if y'all want to sponsor us.
Hello, the two of us.
Listen, in your mouth.
We will post all the things. We will record all the things.
You can do food reviews, Coachella, if you're listening.
Honey, I will pack a microphone.
Okay. I think it's the new age folks trying to make it Coachella because someone's going to freaking outfit. Someone's going to do something. Someone's going to get a Cap'n hat. And, you know, a little bejeweled Cap'n Crunch box and make it a purse.
Yeah, or like, oh, you know what would be cute? A Crunchberry purse.
Oh, yes.
Remember Crunchberries?
Yes.
Now, when's the last time you had cereal?
In years. I haven't had cereal.
I haven't. I am not a sweet breakfast person as is. And then, like, sugary breakfast cereals. I couldn't tell you when the last time I had, like, a Fruity Pebbles, a Cap'n Crunch, anything.
I have not had cereal in itself in years. And my fun for breakfast is a good French omelet.
I was obsessed for a good long time with watching videos of Jacques Pepin make French omelets.
Listen.
And I would do it along with him, right? Like that vigorously stirring to get it, and then like the gentle folding.
You could listen. I have deliciously been spoiled, right? And again, shout out to Jess because he's a man after my stomach and my heart has spoiled me. I go in and I'm like, he's like, "Did you eat?" "No, I did not." And I'm like, "I want an omelet," and this man deliciously browns the butter in the skillet and makes me my French omelet and adds a little bit of arugula and the balsamic glaze. And I am like, so when are we getting married? Because you feed me. Yeah. So spoiled.
Oof. No, wait. But back to Cap'n Crunch. Well, I mean, Cap'n Crunch is 60 years old. Oh my goodness. So what's happening here? Do we really care? Right? He's turning 60 this year and has plans to celebrate the milestone with all the hip kids attending the first weekend of this year's Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, which is this coming weekend. Oh my goodness. The pool at Margaritaville Resort Palm Springs will serve as the venue for the festivities and will be transformed into Cap'n's Cove. The party will be hosted by actress and singer Renee Rapp. Who the hell is that? And feature an all-vinyl DJ set from DJ Pee-wee. Oh, look at that. Look at that. You know, the event is free. However, you'll have to snag one of the limited number of tickets to attend. Those tickets are up for grabs starting April 5th. Well, they're probably all gone now. Lord. I don't know. If anybody wants to send us some Cap'n Crunch 60th birthday swag too, I'll take a cute t-shirt.
Please.
You know?
Listen.
It seems like we're here for the Cap'n. I think we're here. We're here for the cap-in, right? Because that crunch berry really, really...
Listen, I'm just saying, I feel like I need someone in New York City to throw a ball, like a cereal
the crunch,
ball.
The cereal ball.
And you have to bring it in the name of Cap'n Crunch. Michael, we have our crunch berry bags. It's a wrap.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a wrap.
I've never been to an actual ball.
Okay, you know what? You and I have to connect, definitely.
I need to go. I've been, you know what? Before we move on to the last food news update topic, I met Grandfather Extravaganza and Egypt Labeja, right? May he rest in peace. Egypt is still alive and well.
That's my mother.
At the Monster.
That's ridiculous. I love her. I met Egypt years ago at...
I met them at the Monster. They told me who they were. And In Your Mouth listeners, if you don't know who these people are, go back, watch Paris is Burning, do a little bit of your gay history homework, honey, because these are icons and legends, and they are the moment. And I met them both. They told me who they were, and I was like, no, you're not. And they were like, yeah, we are. And they were so beautiful and so kind, and they kept inviting me to the balls, and I did not feel ready or worthy. I was like, this isn't for me, you know, like this is meaning I'm not worthy of this space, you know, and I never went. And it's, I don't have very many regrets in life, but it is one regret that I, while Grandfather Extravaganza was alive, did not go with him to a ball.
Well, you know, I like to call myself the very queer mother. I'm taking you with me. So every year they do in New York City. So for all your In Your Mouth listeners, if you are in the area, they do GMHC, Gay Men's Health Crisis, throws this beautiful latex ball every year, like towards the end of the summer, midsummer, towards the end. And I'm taking a bunch of my friends who've never been. And I would be honored to go with you.
I would die. I would die, and you would see, like, I'd be like, it's a little intimidating. It's a little just intimidating.
It is. It's a lot. But again, bringing it back to community, to be in this beautiful space that was, you know, for us, by us, is such a healing and, like, transformative experience that you have to have. It's like trying, you know, a new dish for the first time, and it just, like, opens up worlds for you. That's what a ball is.
Oh my God, I'm so excited, and we got to get to it. And last but not least here, two men face 3 years in prison for a sushi terrorism prank.
Wait.
What is happening?
What is this?
I didn't even know sushi terrorism was a thing. Yeah, so Japanese restaurants have had enough with so-called sushi terrorism. The Osaka Prefectural Police announced the arrests of Ryu Shimazu and Toshihide Oka, two men who posted their recent antics to social media. The video shows them eating pickled ginger from a communal container with personal chopsticks at a local Yoshinoya, the Associated Press reported. The men openly confessed their crimes, stating that they wanted to make people laugh as they joined in on the hashtag sushi terror. So it took me a minute to understand this. So these Japanese restaurants in Japan, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, the conveyor belt sushi?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing. So apparently it's also a big thing to post on Instagram. Putting like a crazy amount of wasabi, like taking something off the conveyor belt, putting crazy amount of wasabi and then placing it back on the conveyor belt for somebody else to take, or like licking something and then putting it back on the conveyor belt. That's, or like these men did, use their chopsticks to take pickled ginger, like personally from, so, and therefore it's called sushi terrorism.
Wow.
And these restaurants that were supposed to, that are supposed to provide this really fun experience and that are really all the rage and still are, even when I was in Thailand, I saw a couple of them and we couldn't get in. You just can't get in to these conveyor belt sushi places. And they're delicious, I hear. They were like, enough is enough. This is supposed to be this fun experience and like this safe space where you're supposed to have this delicious food. And now because of people and TikTok and Instagram want to do like crazy stupid things, you know, but people are going to jail.
I mean, I'm not mad at them for getting arrested. I'm not, because you're playing with people's livelihood, you know. What if someone's allergic, you know? Also, what if you're, like, it's a health violation. I'm just thinking about all the health code violations. And you're putting these restaurants and their customers in danger, because if someone gets sick at this restaurant and you didn't get caught, they go and call a health inspector, guess what? This person, this restaurant could be in, like, you're playing with people's livelihoods.
So the duo could face up to 3 years in prison and a fine up to $3,800 for obstructing business, and up to 3 years in prison and a fine up to $2,280 for property destruction.
Oh.
That's a big risk just for some likes and views.
Exactly.
Nope.
Not at all.
I'd rather stick to my wigs, nails, and my eggs on my Instagram.
Listen, okay?
Okay. We are not here for this. Y'all, stop doing things just for the likes. And I think that's the best way to end Food News Update. That's crazy.
That's ridiculous.
Wait, you got to spend 3 years in a Japanese prison and up to $6,000 in fine? No, thank you. Shut my...
You go viral. You did all
shut
that.
Shut my Instagram down. Shut my Instagram down. I don't need it.
I don't want it.
I don't want it. I'm good.
That's ridiculous. That's the first time I'm hearing about that, and that's disturbing.
Yes, it's crazy. Also, thank you to Food and Wine and Delish.com for always providing me and keeping me up to date on my food news, although you're still not a sponsor over 5 years later. Talk to me about Ali Forney. Tell the kids out there what they do. I am a big supporter of the Ali Forney Center. I love to donate. I was blessed with being part of the We Are Family initiative.
Wait,
I was
invited you were there?
I was there, and I was part of that video, honey.
I was there.
We didn't cross paths.
I was there. I was supposed to be part of the video, but I'm very camera shy. I love Jace. Shout out to Jace.
God, Jace, my love.
Love her. Oh, Jace is everything. So the Ali Forney Center is it's so many things to me. So what we do at the Ali Forney Center, we provide multiple services, but our main thing is providing safe, supportive housing for LGBTQ young folks between the ages of 16 and 24. So if you know a young person who is part of community and is experiencing street homelessness or unstable housing situations, AFC is for them. We are here to support them. So where I work at our drop-in center. So that is like our first, like a young person's first stop. If they're fresh into the city or they just became unstably housed or they've been for a while, they come to our drop-in center where they get triage services. So they will receive a health counselor, a therapist. They will get assigned. They have an entire care team, essentially, that will help them with their goals that they identify, their top three goals. When they come to the drop-in center, they're provided a meal. So my department, the culinary department, shout out to us. We're a small but mighty team. We serve 4 meals a day. So we do a self-serve breakfast, a hot lunch, a hot dinner, and a hot overnight supper program. So if you are a young person in our program, you have up to 4 meals a day, you know, and while you're facing homelessness or being unstably housed, one thing that we try to do is to take off a lot on your plate. So you don't want to, like, if you're worried about where you're going to sleep, you shouldn't have to worry about where's your next meal coming from. Right. So that's what we tend to do. at the Alley Forney Center. So we help people get into safe and supportive housing, whether it's shared housing or their first apartment. And our, like I said, our culinary department, we offer meals, but we also do an internship program for 12 weeks. So folks can learn about hospitality, meal planning, and prep. And then they can also, if they choose to pursue a career in hospitality or culinary, we help them get their New York State food handler's license. So
that's incredible.
A little bit of everything happens.
Yeah. And you, oh my God, thank you for doing the work. And B, it's the things, the people and the kids that you must see. And the like I said, the stories you must hear on a day-to-day basis. The work is important. And I have said multiple times on here that there is a high percentage of homeless youth here in America. And the large percent of that percentage of homeless youth are LGBTQ.
Yes.
Right? And the numbers are crazy. So this is something, especially in a city here like New York, which is very important, and we need the resource. And I mean, the fact that you cook for them, and think about like what a meal means, and to not have to worry, to know that like, fine, you know, I'm in this situation and it's really shitty, but at least I can go get good food. Good food.
Yeah. And it's just amazing how much I've noticed in the 5.5 years I've been there, how much food impacts and can change someone's whole outlook on a situation or a day. And I love to tell folks when they come in to tour the kitchen or just to figure out what we do in our culinary department, I say the kitchen has a few purposes. Obviously, the first one is to provide nourishment, right? But everyone that works in the kitchen, we are not licensed therapists, but we are therapists, right? I've watched so many young people come in and they're shy, very to themselves, very timid, and a meal opens them up. They come up to that window to get a meal and you see their whole aura changes, their whole world brightens up. Because for them, they might be like, thank you so much. This is the first meal they ate in like a few days, or this is the first time they can eat something that aligns with their dietary needs.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of our kitchen. The Alley Forney Center is a diverse agency across the clients we serve, across the staff that works there. And we incorporate that in the meals that we serve. So if you come in today and you're like, I am gluten-free, I am vegan, and I am lactose
allergic to nuts.
Right. We will find something for you, right? No one gets turned away.
That's incredible.
So it's a hard but beautiful experience.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. And I need to get down there just to like do a tour myself, you know, just to do a tour and see how and when I can help out, because it's something I'm passionate about as well. And I love the whole messaging, and it's a way to give back, you know, it's a way to give back.
It's so fulfilling, and doing it 5 days a week for the past 5.5 years has been the greatest gift. You know, I go in and people are and like, you do so much. And I'm like, I don't look at it as work. You know, the long hours, the coming in early, the staying late, the wiping tears, the, you know, back hurting from being on your feet all day. Shout out to Crocs. Making my feet feel a little bit better. It's worth it to know that I can provide this for these young people, these amazing people. And hearing their stories, you not only see perseverance from these young people, but you're like, the talent that's here, if only someone would just see them, you know, like fully see them. And that's the beauty of what I get to do. Not only do I get to nourish them, I get to see them in their full selves, and it's amazing. You have writers and poets and models and chefs and everything in between and beyond.
Stunning. That's stunning. Oh my goodness. I'm getting a little verklempt here. In Your Mouth listeners, if you want to figure out a way, or do you want to learn more about the Alley Forney Center, please visit www.alleyforneycenter.org. org. You can donate there. I'm sure there's a way that if you're in New York or wherever their outreach is, there's ways that I'm sure you can help volunteer or whatnot. All the information is at AllieForneyCenter.org. I love them, and I love that Jade is here with me today. Before we close out, tell me about this podcast that I haven't been on.
Well, yes.
Also, yes. I'm not Black, and I'm only kind of femme.
So, Black Femme Kitchen actually started at AFC. So me and my co-host, shout out to Soeli, we were both working at Allie Forney Center at the time. And like I said earlier, you know, the kitchen is a space for community. And we were just chatting one day. And I was like, you know, we are really funny. People should hear us.
That's the way these things usually happen. It's the way it happened for me.
I was like, we're comical. And then we were like, yeah, we should start a podcast. And then COVID hit. And, you know,
great time to start a podcast.
Yeah. So COVID hit and we were just like figuring out life. And we were like, hey, so twiddling our thumbs, what's going on with this podcast? And we decided to do it. And we've actually taken a break because a lot of life has been happening for the both of us. So we're coming back. So if you don't follow us, please follow us. We are shifting the way our podcast runs. But essentially, our podcast came out of like, hey, we're funny. We have a lot to say. We have really good conversations. And these moments were like, oh, someone should hear this conversation.
Well, what's it about in like one line?
Oh, it's about two Black non-binary femmes navigating life and love in the city and our adventures.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
So you get to get
amazing.
You get good stories, laughs, and those aha moments where you're like, that resonated. I like what they said there.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I like what you've said this entire 50 minutes or however long that we've been talking.
Well, thank you so much.
Jade, give the kids all the handles. Give the kids the Instagram, the TikTok, the foot fetish OnlyFans, whatever you got, we need it so we can follow.
Yes. So on Instagram, you have Black Femme Kitchen. It is all together. We are on Instagram. We are also on Facebook. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And we will be further pushing things out on Google and other anywhere you can stream a podcast, we will be. But you can definitely find us on Spotify or Anchor FM. Let's see. If you want to follow me, I am Luna, LUNA underscore kissed on TikTok and on Instagram. And let's see.
That's kissed, KISSED.
Yes. So Luna, LUNA underscore kissed, KISSED on TikTok and on Instagram. And yeah, those are my primary places that I'm at. I will say if you are a TikTok person, do not judge me. I am an old lady, so I don't post much, but my content is, you know, it's not how much you post. It's the, you know.
Yeah, it's quality over quantity. Exactly. I'm the same way on TikTok. I'm not very present, so.
Yeah.
No judgment there, babe.
But,
oh my God! Big
things. Shoot me an email if you want to be on the podcast. We open it up for folks who just feel like they have something to say. We love chatting with community members. It is literally the people's podcast. Honestly,
I love it. I love it. Well, you coming for my gig?
We're gonna team up and take over,
honey. Oh my goodness, big shout out to Jade for coming on In Your Mouth today. Thank you so much. I have found my new obsession.
Thank you.
And I really can't thank you enough for giving me time out of your busy schedule and drinking a glass of pink Moscato with me. Yes, honey, icon.
I cannot wait. And I look forward to our social media handles. Like, look who got together and us at all the Pride events. And me taking you to your first ball this summer.
We will post and post and post because I'm coming. I'm holding you to it.
Yes,
I'm holding absolutely. You to it. Okay, now I got to get some latex to wear. Lord, break
out. This is the latex ball. It's the latex ball.
I know you told me.
Yeah, so, oh my God.
Break out the baby powder and the lube, honey, just to get this latex on. That means I'm going to have to continue this diet into August.
Actually, no, you don't, because they do a theme every year. So we just wait for the theme to drop and we could build our outfits around that.
Boom. Thank you. See, I don't know these things. In Your Mouth, listeners, I guess the lesson of the day is to learn something new daily. You know, venture out and learn something new daily. Please go follow Jade. It's all of her handles and things are listed in the liner notes. Other than that, go out, get a little sunshine, eat delicious and healthy things. And as always, thank you for listening to In Your Mouth.
Save on Cox Internet when you add Cox Mobile and get fiber-powered internet at home and unbeatable 5G reliability on the go. So whether you're playing a game at home,
yes, cool,
or attending one live,
no!
You can do more without spending more. Learn how to save at cox.com/internet. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial cable. Cox Mobile runs on the network with unbeatable 5G reliability as measured by Ookla LLC in the U.S. 2H 2023. Results may vary, not an endorsement. Other restrictions apply.